Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for growing your faith. Good News Ministries will provide you with faith-building reflections, virtual retreats, prayer resources, and lots more. All of it is free. Visit GNM.org today. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Socks, a Catholic book blogger, and today we have with us Sister Mary Ann Fatula. She has served as a professor of theology at the Ohio Dominican University in Columbus, Ohio, and for more than 30 years taught theology there. Sister Mary Ann is the author of Catherine Siena's Way, Holy Spirit, Unbounded Gift of Joy, and Thomas Aquinas, Preacher and Friend. Today we'll be discussing her latest book, Heaven's Splendor and the Riches That Await You There. Welcome to the show, Sister Mary Ann.
Oh, it's my joy to be with you, Pete.
So, first of all, this is a great book. I've never encountered a book specifically written on the topic of heaven before, and it was a very uplifting read. I guess the first question I have is, what drew you to writing this particular book?
You know, Pete, it has been in my heart for many years to gather insights of the saints so that others could be certainly as comforted as I have been by the saints. I really wanted to try to help others first of all, not be afraid of death, but rather to have a great joy in anticipating heaven. And also, for any of us who may be grieving the death of a loved one, to receive great comfort in the beautiful insights that the saints have about the communion of saints and how our loved ones who have died are around us and with us. And so the two great points that the saints make in this book, I hope and pray readers find this, is that A, heaven is already within us because of the Blessed Trinity who dwell within our souls through baptism, through our Lord Jesus whom we receive in the Eucharist, and heaven is also already around us through the communion of saints, our loved ones. So death is nothing to be feared. It simply opens to us what we're really already in a profound way living in now if we had the eyes of faith to see.
You know, in the chapter on the Holy Trinity, you speak of God's love of the Son's love of the Father, and the Holy Spirit as a kiss. Can you describe this analogy for us?
Yes, this is such a very profound and sweet insight of St. Bernard of Clairvaux. And St. Augustine, of course, was so profound in when he speaks of the Holy Spirit as the divine person who is the living person of love between the Father and Son. He is their love in person. And St. Bernard goes a step further and says, the very name Spirit, which seems to be so impersonal, he says, is really like a breath of love. Like when people love each other, they go, And so he says, this is the kiss. And he goes to the Canticle of Canticles, in which the lover says to the beloved, oh, you know, kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. And he says that the Holy Spirit, who is the love between the Father and Son, is their most infinite and tender kiss of love. And this is so, in other words, we are meant to experience the Holy Spirit's sweetness, that kiss that he is even now, before we even taste his fullness in heaven. This is so consoling.
You know, as we go along today, we'll get deeper into the book and cover more of the chapters. But one important thing I think for us to understand is how important are the communion of saints to us here on earth?
Oh, my heavens, yes, yes, yes. And this is such a blessing that we have as Catholics, because we are profound. Our belief in the communion of saints is so real. We say this in the Creed: I believe in the communion of saints. And therefore, those who have died are not only, and we trust and pray that they are in heaven, and certainly are the blessed souls in purgatory, are with us now. And beautiful saints such as Saint Ambrose have such profound insights. As he, for example, Saint Ambrose himself spoke to his brother who had died, and he says, you know, my brother, we are not separated for a moment, and the enjoyment we had each other before your death, we can have even more profoundly now. And so this is so consoling to really pray for the grace to see and to experience the truth of this profound communion of saints, that the Blessed Trinity, who are the family of love and who love us so profoundly, give us also one another to be our family of love. They are a very human family of love. And they do not leave us at the moment of their death, certainly not of our death. They are with us and even more profoundly, more intimately, and more sweetly.
Mm. So for lack of a better word, how can we better utilize them in our daily lives?
Yes, well, simply to start speaking to our love. Well, we certainly pray to the saints, and this is the communion of saints. You know, we'll say, oh, St. Anthony, help me, you know, find this St. Therese, whose beautiful feast day is today. St. Therese, help me. We so easily pray for favors from the saints, and the Blessed Trinity are glorified when we do this, not because they need the saints, the divine persons, but because they love us to participate in their self-giving love by helping one another. And so just to extend that now and start speaking to our loved ones who have died. My mom and dad and two of my brothers, I pray for them, and I also trust that they are in heaven. And I speak to them all of the time. I ask them to help me to love the Blessed Trinity more. I picture them in heaven. This is another beautiful insight of our lovely Saint Therese today, who was so aware of the communion of saints as a family of love around us, that they would help us to know that we are created as members of families to participate in that self-giving love of the Trinity, but we will be even more deeply members of healed families in heaven. And so if there's been something maybe that was not so right in our relationship here on earth, all is forgiven and can be forgiven. And there's such healing that can be experienced in our communion with our loved ones. And our communion with our loved ones can grow after death, not be cut off, but grow deeper. Mm-hmm. And especially those who have experienced the death of a little baby, or even a baby unborn, as you know, the Catechism says, we trust that through the mercy of the Trinity, we trust in the Trinity's mercy. But we can know those little ones even now, who are surely not little ones in heaven. You know, I've come that you may have life and have it to the full, says the Lord. You know, who are fully, beautifully themselves in heaven. But we can grow in that communion now. And so the simple way to do that is simply to start speaking to them. And that's just what prayer is. Mm-hmm. Not prayer of adoration, but prayer of communion with our loved ones.
So can you talk to us a bit about the power of praying for the dead? That last little bit,
yes,
segued right into that nicely.
Oh, my heavens, this is so crucial. I'm so touched by the beautiful story that St. Augustine tells us of his own mother, Monica, who begged him, who said, never forget me at the altar. And this is so profound, regardless of how holy, every saint has begged for prayers. And so we go to that moment of death. None of us is perfect. No saint is perfect. Of course, our Blessed Mother was given that freedom from sin. And she went to her death without any need of prayer. But even the great saints would say, oh, pray for me. And so we don't, it's such a profound mystery. We cannot explain how this happens. But we explain, what we can do is believe that it happens and why it happens. Because we believe that our prayer in some profound way, is of help to those who have already died, without being able to explain exactly how that takes place. Because our prayer is so profound here on earth, even, you know, when we say, St. Therese, please help me, you know, I'm praying a novena to St. Therese right this very moment for some loved family members. And so this, we trust that our prayer is loved and honored by the Blessed Trinity because they love to see our self-giving love for one another. Mm. And now one possible way we could explain it, although this is a profound mystery, is simply to say that since there's no time after that moment of death, that somehow all of our prayers, let's say my parents, my dad, you know, died 15 years ago, the prayers that I say for him every day have been made and are made to him present to him at that moment of death. In other words, our prayer transcends time. And certainly those who have died are not really in time. They are beyond time. So that may help us a little bit to understand how this self-giving love transcends time, and we really do help one another, even those who have died, and especially those who have died by our prayers. And we go back to the Church's own practice. Since the earliest days, in the celebration of the Mass, there have always been prayers for the dead, not simply the dying. And so this is again a profound dimension of the communion of saints. Mm.
And one more thing I think we need to talk about. People tend to have this fear of death. How can our prayers free us from that fear?
Oh, yes. Well, I am so adamant when I was teaching my own students, please don't just say God. Say, oh, my beloved Father, my dear Lord Jesus, most sweet Holy Spirit, speak to each divine person by name. They are the Trinity of love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so if we start to now speak to the divine persons, just start saying their precious names. This we will begin to grow in the profound knowledge that the Blessed Trinity, who are heaven, already dwell within us, and so there's nothing to fear about death, because we already bear within us heaven. And at that moment, we trust in their mercy. We certainly can pray, and I do myself pray every day, oh, please, Blessed Trinity, give me a sweet, painless, very easy death, because you know I'm a baby, I'm a child. St. Therese prayed that way, and we're certainly permitted and encouraged to pray that way, too. But and take all fear, oh, Blessed Trinity, of death away from me, because all that death does is open me into my Father, into your arms. Oh, loved Jesus, beloved Jesus, death just simply puts me in your arms. Oh, sweet Holy Spirit, death simply puts me in your embrace. And also, of course, our loved ones. We know that our loved ones will be with us at the moment of death. When my own mom, I was privileged to be with her for 4 years and had that permission to care for her. Towards the end, she certainly was experiencing visitations from my two brothers who had already died. And she'd say, now, where did Jackie go? Where's Jimmy? I'm sure everyone listening could give his or her own story of loved ones. I mean, that we're surrounded. How can we be afraid? And I must say, it really, really helps me personally to know that my mom and dad, my brothers who have already died, will be with me. That's why the Blessed Trinity are so sweet to us. They give us these beautiful, consoling human helps. How can we be afraid? They will be with us, and our Blessed Mother, of course. So if we think of death not as some, you know, deep, dark, horrible experience, and if there's suffering involved, let's pray not to suffer. But if there is suffering, the Church encourages the use of, you know, palliative measures to make as easy and sweet and painless a death as possible. And so let's just be very, pray for that grace to be trusting and not afraid, and to be ready by knowing the Blessed Trinity through speaking with them in prayer and really entering into communion, profound communion with the Lord Jesus at the Mass as we receive him in Holy Communion. And then death is nothing strange to us. It simply opens to us all the beauty in which we're living now.
Ah, good stuff. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back to speak with Sister Mary Fatula more about her book, Heaven Splendor. We'll be right back.
Popular blogger Catherine Whitaker is a Dr. Pepper superfan, Aggie-loving type A mom of six, with a personality the size of her native Texas. The stressful, premature birth of her fifth child threw her orderly world into chaos and ultimately led her to rethink her priorities. In her new book, Live Big, Love Bigger, Catherine Whitaker shares her journey and challenges you to understand that you too can live a life of authenticity with joy-filled purpose, love, and faith. Her sassy authenticity will make you laugh and cry while encouraging you to be honest about mistakes in every area of your life. Embrace them and find a way to let God redeem it all. Check out Live Big, Love Bigger at Ave Maria Press, or look for it wherever books and ebooks are sold.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf. This week we have with us Sister Mary Ann Fatula, and we're discussing her book, Heaven Splendor and the Riches That Await You There. And Sister, in the book, you use some examples of our loved ones in heaven interceding for and helping us here on earth. Many saints speak of feeling their loved ones' presence. You gave a little few examples of that at the end of the last segment. Can you share some examples of the saints with us?
Yes. Well, I mean, for example, with certainly the I think the most clear and extensive writing is St. Ambrose, who speaks so profoundly of, he says, I experienced, to his brother Satyrus, who had died, he says, you know, I experience you with me all of the time. But we also have other saints, such as Catherine of Siena, who clearly experienced her father with her, protecting her, she said, after her death. And saints, very good friends, like St. Basil the Great and Gregory Nazianzus, who were very good friends on earth. And St. Gregory tells us that after Basil died, and Basil was, apparently was pretty bossy, and Gregory says, and I experienced him. Now, he says, you know, he would come to me in my dreams, and that he would tell me what to do and what I was doing wrong. And this is, not everyone, of course, has dreams, and maybe probably very few, and they're really not needed. But that's another way the Blessed Trinity allow our loved ones to be near us. So, I mean, in fact, that's something I would love to delve into. And St. Thomas Aquinas gives us an example. He was close to a theologian who had died, and he experienced that person coming to him, and St. Thomas, who was so longing to know more of certainly of the Eucharist and the Blessed Trinity and all the mysteries of faith, asked him a profound question, and the person responded and said, "You will know that answer very soon." And soon after, Thomas died, but of course he had told this to his companion, who had been helping him. So, I mean, I know that there are many, many more examples of saints that should be uncovered, and maybe we easily pass over. And, of course, St. Thérèse of Lisieux herself, you know, her mom and dad died, and she experienced their care. In fact, this is so profound. After Thérèse was just young, not yet an adult, when she experienced her first Holy Communion, and she says, and I experienced my mother with me, and my mother's joy at her first Holy Communion. This also is very consoling, because we can know through the saints that we think that because our loved ones have died, they're missing out on some profound event in our lives. No, they are there. We simply can't see them. Mm-hmm. And it's just so beautifully consoling to be aware of their presence. I've been at many celebrations in my own family where the person who was hosting the celebration would publicly say, and now we know our loved ones are here, and so, you know, let us know that we are surrounded by our loved ones whom we cannot see as well as our loved ones we can see. Something as simple as that brings to the attention of all who are present this profound reality.
You know, this bond we're talking about is not limited to people we know. You look at how we can have a bond with saints that we never personally knew.
Men, yes. Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, one such instance is St. Catherine of Siena, who had a bond with St. Dominic, who died two centuries before her. How can we nurture these types of relationships, and how powerful can they be?
Yes, this is a very, your questions are just so profound, Pete, and I'm so grateful for them. Well, you see, this communion, a special friendship between the saints in heaven and those of us on earth, is definitely a gift of the Blessed Trinity. So they give that. And the way we begin to experience it is we are here on earth drawn to a particular saint, and so we begin to pray to that saint. So, again, people are drawn to St. Padre Pio, or St. Anthony. That's a gift of the Blessed Trinity to us. And so what we need to, in other words, we don't make this up. This is given to us. And so what we do is simply to continue that inspiration of the Holy Spirit in our soul to continue speaking to that particular saint to whom we are drawn for whatever reason. And when we're praying for something, when we're delighting in something, to simply speak. That's all that prayer is: speaking to the Blessed Trinity. Of course, our prayer to the Blessed Trinity is profoundly different because it's prayer of adoration. But our prayer to our loved ones is prayer of communion, which rejoices in their presence and asks for their intercession. So these bonds that are given right here on earth, which are a gift of the Trinity, we can nurture them by continuing to read about. This is why books on the saints are so wonderful. Read about that saint's life and really continue to pray to that saint and to do things in communion with that saint. This particularly touched me as I was working on the book. St. John Paul II's, and now it's just tucked in there. This is why, really, we need to really read with great anointing of the Holy Spirit when we read the saints' writings. But just tucked in his many beautiful conferences on the theology of the body, he has a beautiful insight in which he says that our communion, you know, with the Blessed Trinity, the Blessed Trinity gave us also this deeper communion of one another. And I received what I really believe was Holy Spirit's speaking to my own soul, saying, and therefore, know that people on earth who may not have had their heart's desires fulfilled, you know, perhaps they wanted to be married or have a dear and true friend, and it seemed as if their lives were so disappointing. We can trust in heaven, that in heaven, those wonderful desires for closeness to other human beings, certainly as well as to the Blessed Trinity, are fulfilled in a way we could never have imagined. And so and Catherine of Siena says this, you know, well, we know that saints whom we have not yet met, and perhaps we don't even know, you know, hidden saints, are praying for us now. St. Teresa says that, and are waiting for us, and we're going to have special friendships in heaven with others in heaven whom we have never even met yet. Mm-hmm. And that's just very, very, to me, it's very, very consoling. And I love how St. Teresa says, and when we get to heaven, we will be amazed at how many graces here on earth were given to us through saints we didn't even know about through their intercession, but we will certainly enjoy their closeness in heaven. We have their closeness here on earth, but we will give them our closeness in heaven once we meet them.
So many of us tend to get wrapped up in the here and now and the difficulties we face, you know, day to day, and these worldly difficulties we have. Why is it important for us to focus on our eternal life and the promise of resurrection? Easier said than done.
Because, you see, this is what we're made for. I mean, there's only one reason we are here on earth, because we are created for heaven. The Blessed Trinity have created us for the joy of being in them. And so everything is in the light of that. And whatever problems we are going through, whatever struggles, whatever difficulties, we've all experienced this. There is a strength and a consolation that we can draw only really from the Blessed Trinity. But, you know, only the Father can be truly Father to us. And the Lord Jesus, our beloved Savior and spouse, and the Holy Spirit, the beloved of our souls. And And to, therefore, if we pray for the grace in whatever trouble we're going through, the Blessed Trinity dwell in us through our baptism. St. John says, the Lord says through St. John, we will come to that one and we will make our home in you. The Blessed Trinity's home is within us. So if there's something that we're experiencing, I remember very, very clearly one particular semester long ago when students were being particularly rebellious, long ago, because I'm ancient, and I remember leaving a class and just going in another room and weeping and entering into my soul and just saying, oh, my sweet Blessed Trinity, I just, just hold me in your embrace. If we would do things like this in whatever we're going through, and my Father, I know that you provide for me, you care for me, speak to the divine persons, that we will experience the power of this and therefore grow in that habit. In other words, not simply, although we certainly should, and may that we pray for the grace to set aside specific time each day to rest in the Blessed Trinity, but throughout the whole day, let us ask for the grace simply to speak to the Trinity within us. Whatever we're doing, if we're having a good day, dear Blessed Trinity, thank you so much. Dear Father, thank you. It's a beautiful day. Or if we've had a great sorrow, oh, my Father, hold me. Oh, dear sweet Holy Spirit, beloved of my soul, I need you to anoint me. I need you to console me. Dear sweet Jesus, cover me with your precious blood. This is tremendous strength during every second of our day, but it's also tremendously consoling.
We touched upon this earlier, but I think it bears a deeper conversation. A key element to getting to heaven is death. We talked about death already. I want to get your thoughts on something, and that is the fact that we may often forget, because you have a great section in the book where you talk about this, that there was very real anguish that Jesus himself experienced. He had it in his very real human heart at the prospect of his own death. How can we look at that to help us with our own misgivings, shall we say?
Yes, and I think no one, I certainly do not want any pain. No one wants pain. And we cringe before pain, and this is so consoling that the Lord Jesus himself, although St. Catherine says he ran to the cross, yes, but St. Luke says, his perspiration became like drops of blood. No, we were not meant for pain, and pain, we cringe before pain. And so, first of all, let us pray for our loved ones or for ourselves that we not have to go through it. But if we do, whatever pain we are permitted to go through, there's a reason. I know I had knee replacements myself about 7 years ago, and I thought this was the closest thing to death that I'd ever experienced. It was so painful, and I remember crying out with pain and saying, take me to heaven. I can't stand this, dear Lord. So this is prayer that there's no way out except through. And to be consoled by the Lord and say, oh, Jesus, Lord, you suffered. Help me in my suffering. Please take this pain away. And if it's like the Lord says, if this is not your will, then please give me the strength to get through it. And of course, again, we're encouraged to use whatever, spiritual, emotional, physical means there is of alleviating pain. But whatever pain is permitted to us, there is a profound, as St. John Paul II so beautifully says, so profoundly says when he meditates on the mystery of suffering. If there is suffering in our lives, and the whole mystery of suffering is permitted in the world because it evokes and brings forth deeper the reality of love, self-giving love in our world. Those who suffer call forth self-giving love from those who minister to them, and those who suffer also are really a gift to others. I couldn't be half as compassionate as I pray that I am and hope to be if I hadn't experienced suffering myself.
Absolutely. That's a great insight on that. We're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back to finish up our talk about heaven splendor. You've been listening to Off the Shelf. We'll be right back.
Marriage is ordered between one man and one woman because, like God's love, it is called to be fruitful, open to life. Well, there's a lot of confusion in the culture today, but here is some clarity in the following beautiful quote from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, 2335. Each of the two sexes is an image of the power and tenderness of God, with equal dignity, though in a different way. The union of man and woman in marriage is a way of imitating in the flesh the Creator's generosity and fecundity. End quote. Listen, be not afraid. Couples that are willing to live openness to life in their marriage will receive not only many spiritual benefits, but a very practical strengthening of their marriage. I'm Jim Littleton, FormingFaithfulFamilies.com.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf. We've been spending the day with Sister Marianne Fatula discussing her book, Heaven, Splendor, and the Riches That Await You There. And Sister, I'd like to pull a quote from the book where you state, quote, "The death of loved ones teaches us that when the Lord calls us home, we will not be able to trust in our merits. Our only refuge will be the Trinity's tender mercy," end quote. Mm-hmm. Can you give us some insight into this mystery?
Yes, Pete. In other words, none of us is worthy of heaven. I mean, we mere mortals, and therefore, when we approach the mystery, and these great saints, Catherine of Siena, as she was dying, would say, you know, "Oh, blood of Jesus, cover me, have mercy on me." I mean, we are, our Blessed Mother, again, was preserved from all sin as Mother of the Lord Jesus, and from her flesh, his flesh was taken. But for the rest of us, we cannot trust ourselves for a second. And of course, our Blessed Mother herself would be the first to say, "And everything that I have is through the Trinity's grace and mercy in me." And so let us pray for that mercy now. And I mean, all the time I say, "Oh, sweet Blessed Trinity, I am helpless without you. And you can't trust me for a second. So please help me. Give me your grace. Give me your mercy." And so often I use Catherine's prayer. I say, "Oh, sweet Jesus, cover me with your precious blood." And a most sweet and favorite prayer of mine to the Holy Spirit, "Sweet Holy Spirit, please anoint my every breath, anoint every second of my day, my every action." Without the Blessed Trinity, we are utterly powerless. And if the more we experience, this is not a depressing truth. This is a wonderful and encouraging truth, because they want, the Blessed Trinity, the divine persons, want to pour out their mercy and grace upon us. But the more that we do this now, in other words, let us try to pray for the grace never to think that anything good we accomplish was ever on our own. No, it was not on our own. If there were any good outcomes, let us grow in the habit of saying, "Oh, thank you, Blessed Trinity. Only through your grace did this, you know, succeed, or was this sweet, or whatever." And so it's built up in us right now, not only an attitude of dependence, but also an attitude of gratitude. I am thanking the Blessed Trinity all day long. I'll say, "Oh, thank you, sweet Blessed Trinity. Thank you for, you know, thank you for this beautiful day. Oh, thank you." After, you know, I've been I prayed the Holy Spirit would anoint our conversation. As soon as I hang up, I'll say, "Oh, thank you, sweet Blessed Trinity. If anything good, you know, has touched the readers and listeners, it's only because of you." This is the truest. This is the only true way to live our life, every second of our day, because that is the truth. The Lord says, "Without me, you can do nothing," and right. That is literally true.
Mm-hmm.
Literally,
absolutely. You know, we talked about suffering a little earlier. When we think of death, our minds actually, you know, naturally turn to suffering, which those two commonly go hand in hand. And we often say, when someone passes away after a brief or even an extended illness, but particularly in a brief illness, we'll say at least they didn't have to suffer. What value, however, is there in suffering?
Well, see, and then again, this is a profound mystery, as St. John Paul II points out. I mean, the Blessed Trinity, this is not their positive will for us to suffer. It is their permissive will, because there's great good so that they bring for us. And as St. Thomas Aquinas so beautifully said, he said, you know, the Lord is like a doctor, and the prescription he gives for one person may kill another person. You don't take someone else's prescription. Mm-hmm. But the Blessed Trinity know exactly what each one of us needs to become totally loving and totally purified. And so let us trust that in our own lives and in the lives of our loved ones, whatever they or we are permitted to suffer, there is a profound reason for good, that it has opened us out in love and compassion. And also, as St. John Paul II so profoundly points out, that we share in the redemptive mystery of the Lord's own suffering and death, and that to really believe that in some profound way what we suffer is able to be of help to others in the world who are suffering in a profound way we cannot see. So the St. Thomas also beautifully said, you know, if all suffering, all evil were eliminated from the world, even greater good would be eliminated. And again, John Paul II, it is love that is deepened through suffering. And this is something that we can experience, probably not at the moment that we're suffering or the person we love is suffering, but certainly, if not later in our life here on earth, in heaven, not one of us is going to say, oh, dear Blessed Trinity, everything you permitted in my life and my loved ones was perfect, except this one thing, you could have done that better. No, no. We're going to bow and say, everything you did was perfect. Everything had its reason. One thing led to another. I bow before your tremendous, sweet love and providence. Mm.
The last chapter of your book, titled Living in Heaven on Earth, is it's powerful, very powerful chapter. I don't usually recommend people skipping to the last chapter of a book, but that was an awesome chapter. So from a 10,000-foot view, so to speak, how can we live this joy of heaven here on earth?
Well, simply to start asking, St. Augustine, I love, says, you know, whatever we do have, let us thank the Blessed Trinity for, and whatever we don't have, let us simply ask the divine persons for. So to ask for the grace to start realizing that heaven is within us now because of the Blessed Trinity's presence, and heaven is around us because of our loved ones and the saints. And so simply I especially encourage each one of us to grow in what the saints tell us, to rest especially in the presence of the Lord Jesus, whom we receive in the Eucharist at Mass. Unfortunately, it's so easy for us to just slip out after Mass without even a thought that we bear God the Son within us. Let us come early before Mass, not to simply communicate and socialize, but to prepare ourselves to enter into this profound mystery of the Lord's death and resurrection. And it's beautiful that so many churches are establishing Eucharistic adoration. I think the quickest way to come to know this sweetness of heaven within us is in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, as St. John Paul himself, John Paul II, so beautifully said.
The one thing your book does that I think is excellent is it shows us how, even though we're here on earth, in some ways we can dip our toe into the reality of heaven.
Amen.
What are some practical ways we can go about doing that?
Well, again, actually, everything we've been talking about is certainly what I believe really, really helps us to do that. And to begin, first of all, to pray, to start speaking to the Blessed Trinity within us. You know, we're all throughout the day just saying, my Father, help me through this, dear sweet Jesus. You know, I love you. Be with me in this, sweet Holy Spirit, anoint me. So start speaking to the Blessed Trinity within us all throughout the day. Try to maybe even go to Mass more frequently. And when we do go to Mass each week, let us try to spend real time after receiving the Lord in Holy Communion, to enter into the mystery of His presence within us, and hopefully find a way to spend some time before the Blessed Sacrament. This is a very, very profound way to grow in that understanding that we're living in heaven right now. And of course, then to speak to our loved ones who are with us all day long, and our saints we do know and the saints we don't know yet. It is really, I think, a matter of communication, learning to, praying for the grace to speak with and to be much more consciously living in the presence of those who are. St. Augustine says, "You were within me, but I was not within you." And so, the Blessed Trinity, our Blessed Mother, the saints, our loved ones, they are with us. They are giving themselves to us. Heaven is here, right around us and within us. And so, to simply ask for that grace to start speaking to those who are heaven, the Blessed Trinity, mm-hmm. and those who are in heaven, our Blessed Mother, and our loved ones. Prayer is so simple in so many ways, but let us do it throughout the entire day, as well as take time for it, special time every day.
Mm, absolutely. Sister Marianne, I want to thank you for spending time with us today. Where can people find your book, Heaven, Splendor, and the Riches That Await You There?
Yes, they can find it at sophiainstitute.com. It is published by Sophia Institute Press, and they can look it up on the computer, Sophia, S-O-P-H-I-A, Sophia Institute Press, sophiainstitute.com. And I thank them for publishing this little book.
And it is a great one. I want to, again, thank you for taking time out of your schedule. Any closing thoughts?
Well, I want to say, Pete, I want to honor you and say how blessed your listeners are to have you, because you really want to draw them to the deepest reality of, ultimately, of course, we're meant for heaven, and what you do by reading these books and making them more known to your readers, you are helping them to see that really we are here for one reason only, and that is, we are here to be made ready for heaven. And it doesn't matter how young we are or how old, let us start doing that now. This is the only reason we are here. And as I often said to my students, and the reason we have one another is that we are made to be sweet baits for one another unto heaven.
Fantastic.
So let us be longing for heaven and draw our loved ones right along with us.
Fantastic. With that, you've been listening to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger. And until next time, God bless.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tours Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.